Well, it's been a little while since I've done one of these podcasts. And here lately, I've just kind of been fixated on NDEs, near-death experiences. I've been researching some across the internet. Well, I say research. I'm actually looking at YouTube and just different variations of near-death experiences, people's experiences, varying from children to adults. It was very enlightening, and I just thought I would talk about that. And well, I sort of came up with a consistency of, well, not necessarily clues, but across the board, regardless of age or color or socioeconomic standing, it seems to be there are some very consistent things that are with NDEs. And I'm going to try to remember them. I didn't write them down. I just thought I'd try to remember them because I've been watching a lot. And then I'd like to share something personally. Not that I've had an NDE, but something that I think will sort of be part of this, I guess, or at least augment it some. Anyway, one of the things I did notice is that several different people who didn't know each other made the distinction that when they died, they heard a popping sound or a pop, or like something was almost like a how could I explain it? One lady said it was almost like she was attached, and then she heard this snapping sound, almost like a rope or something, or a twine had been broken. It was a distinct sound, and there was one or two other people besides her on completely different accounts that said they experienced the same thing too. I thought that was kind of interesting and very telling. Several people said that they didn't know they died until they looked down and saw their body. Now, consistently, everyone said they looked down and saw themselves. They saw their body, which was strange to them that they could see their body, and yet they were looking at themselves. And most of them don't talk about what they look like as they look at their body. In other words, they don't mention that they have, you know, another body that's attached to their spirit, that their spirit is this ethereal thing that kind of hovers over the body. And excuse me, they consistently, they all talk about their sight and their senses being heightened, like they could see before, but they describe seeing clearer, seeing it's like a real like a super fine vision and super hearing almost. That's consistent. There's a consistency of a light as well. There's a light that people enter, and another consistent thing is that the light emits a love that is greater than any feeling of love they've ever experienced on earth. Now, I thought this was kind of interesting. This was sort of a newer thing that I'd been hearing as I was listening, was when they get to where they're going, that they feel like they're more alive. This was something that I began to hear a lot of, that they felt more alive than they ever felt on earth, and that it was clear to them that their what do you call it, their life on earth was completely different from their life where they are. And another consistent thing that people talk about is that oh gosh, I just lost my train of thought. I'm so sorry. Good gracious. I'll get it, I promise. that they don't talk like you and I talk. We move our mouth, we run air across our vocal cords, and then we formulate words and sentence structures and syntax and things like that. They don't do that. wherever they are, be it heaven, be it paradise, be wherever it is, doesn't really matter, they are spoken to, as they describe, like a telepathy, almost telepathic, where they're communicating in their minds. Now that is very consistent just about, I don't think anybody has not said that. I think that is 100% consistent across the board. Now there was one guy who described dying when he was a child, that he had had a accident on a moped, and that he had broken his hand and had to have some tendons sewn back on. And during surgery is when he had a reaction to, the anesthesia, and he died. And even though he was dead for, I think he said about 6 minutes, he said that in the other realm, and this is another thing that is also very consistent, is that people who are in the other realm talk about there's no time, there's no concept of time, that they don't think of time, time doesn't matter, and there's no way to gauge it, so there's no understanding of how much time has passed. And so he said that he was in a beautiful room. He described it as this huge room. He said what looked like just beautiful marble, and it was this massive room that he was in, and had columns, and had buttresses, and all kinds of architectural designs that would indicate that, you know, it could be something like what they showed on the video was probably a huge library, almost like the Library of Congress, like if you've noticed the architectural design. That, it was kind of a cross between that and like Grand Central Station in in New York City, or Grand Station in D.C., any of those places that are, you know, equipped for, you know, large gatherings of people. It was very similar to that. And he said that it was really beautiful, and that there was a marble table. There were marble tables all around, and they had four stools around each table. And that there were people sitting at the stools, and there was a person there. He described it as a female, and she did look, she looked very human. She had a human form, and he described her talking to people, sort of orientating them. He felt like that room was to orientate people who had just died. And so he saw three tunnels that led off from this huge room. And he said that, you know, that one, that the lady took him over to one and said, look down this one. And he said he looked down and he saw what looked like the universe, you know, stars and planets. And it was just like, just down that hallway and you're out in space, kind of. And he said that down another hallway, he saw a man having a heart attack. And he said the man died, and he was an older man. He was very old. And he had a heart attack, and he came walking through, and he was kind of confused as to where he was. And so this lady, I don't think he called her an angel, but he called her this person, met the man and brought him to the table to sit down. And as she was speaking to him, he said that he like his face changed, and instead of an old man, he was like, you know, late 20s, early 30s kind of look. He looked like a young man again. And he said eventually he looked down one of the other tunnels, and it was a beautiful like a pasture scene, you know, mountains and things like that. And he walked through it, and they told him to go through and walk and look in it, and he did. And he said it was a beautiful scene of you know, mountains and trees, and he just described the colors. And that was another thing too that was very consistent throughout the NDEs when people went to the other side, where they described colors that were brighter and different than any color they'd seen here on Earth. And I thought that was kind of interesting as well. But he said that when he got out there, it was this big open field. He said he saw these animals running down the hill, And he said that all the animals that you loved and other people loved, basically everybody, were there, and they would reunite with their owners when they, you know, when they got to this place. And he said he saw two of his dogs that had died, and he also saw I think one of his cats. And he said that there were two scrolls back in the room where he started, the orientation room. He said there were two scrolls on the table, and he said one had a blue ribbon around it and one had a red ribbon around it. And he opened, I can't remember if it was the blue one or the red one, but at any rate, he was going to look at it. And what it was basically was his life was set up, the rest of his life and what he could look for. And he said the scroll closed and rolled back up where he couldn't read it. And they said, you can't read that because that's your life to come. But everybody's life is planned out before they get there. You know, and it sounded like, from what he said, it almost sounded like you have a say in your life as to what kind of life you're going to have. Anyway, I'm not saying that these things are correct, that these people are right. I'm not saying that they're wrong. I can tell you from experience, I believe that I went to heaven twice. I believe that I saw heaven twice. And I can tell you that when Jesus, I believe it was Jesus, I'm a Christian, I believe that, you know, Jesus is the Son of God, and I believe he came and died on this earth for me, and I believe that I saw him in heaven. Now, you might argue that, you know, what I saw was a figure of an imagination of a person that I have been told who Jesus is all my life, and you know what, you might be right. I might be just, you know, making it up in my head, so to speak. Brain is very, very, very powerful. But I believe I saw him, and when I saw him and he spoke to me, he didn't speak to me like you and I would speak, moving our mouths. He spoke to me in my head, which I always thought was kind of weird, you know. But now that I see these, you know, these people talk about, you know, near-death experiences, and I hear that this consistent, you know, communication is telepathic. As weird and crazy as that might sound, I tend to believe it. I also saw the light that they talk about, the great white light, the brightest white light you've ever seen in your life. I saw it. I experienced it. I was 19 and in college at the time, and I experienced it. And I remember my senses, just like they talked about. My eyes, now I didn't have an NDE, I just had a vision. But it was very similar. I had very similar reactions to it, like my senses were heightened. My eyes, I remember my eyes. I could see everything with my eyes, like the smallest detail, the ends of his hair that looked like picked wool were just like waving, like in slow motion from the wind or from whatever it was. I could see that, and it was so clear. It was like my vision was like super clear. And so I say all that, and I tell you that because I see similarities in what these people are experiencing. Now, I didn't see my body, and I didn't see, you know, I didn't rise above my body or anything like that. I didn't have a near-death experience. But I can see where some of these people are having similar things that I had, that I personally experienced, so I know. As weird and crazy and exotic as it probably sounds to you if you've never experienced it, I did. And so the other thing that I took away from this is that, you know, I was raised Christian. I was raised in a Christian home. I was raised to believe in Jesus. I was raised to believe that there was one God and that he created the universe and that, you know, everything has a purpose and we all have a purpose to our lives. And if you do good... Well, not necessarily if you do good, but if you believe in Jesus, then you accept the free gift of salvation that he gives every single person, and you go to heaven. Otherwise, you know, you go to a place called hell. Well, I've always grappled with hell. It's not that I don't want to believe in hell, and I have a friend who says, you know, well, there is one, and, you know, there probably is a hell, and you know, I don't worry too much about it because I know I'm not going there, but anyway, the point I'm trying to make is this. There were people who had near-death experiences, who died, and yet they went to this beautiful white light, and they saw what they described as a man in a robe. Some of them said he had a white robe on. Some said that he had a, that he was a bright light, that he spoke to them telepathically. And they said that he, you know, and consistently throughout the NDEs across the board, everybody says that they felt more loved than they've ever felt. They were told sometimes that they were loved, and that they were loved no matter what. And so, of course, you know, my spidey senses go off, and I'm like, well, hold on, because that's not what I was raised to believe. Not that I'm saying what I believe is wrong or right. I'm just simply saying I was raised very, very, I don't want to say spiritual, but definitely Christian. And we believe that there were things that would get you into heaven. There were things that get you into hell. And so this kind of threw it off a little bit, because it was consistent. There were people who were atheists. There were people who didn't believe in God. There were people who died from, you know, drug overdose, and, you know, and they were, you know, I mean, they were doing things they probably, you know, shouldn't do. Not that I'm any better than them, not that anybody who's a Christian is better than them at all. I'm just trying to give you a frame of reference as to the perspective that I was raised on. And so now I'm like, okay, it's almost like, and I hate to say this because, you know, it can make me sound like, you know, I don't believe what I believe, but it almost sounds like a universalist kind of thing, like universalism. You know, everybody gets there. You know, we all get there. It's just, you know, no matter what we do, we all get there. Well, I mean, I'll be honest with you. I would like to think that, you know, there are things that people can do that I think would probably not get them to heaven. I don't think they deserve to go to heaven, nor do I. But they're heinous things that when you hurt a child, when you know these sex traffickers who traffic children, and molesters who molest children, and people who do cruel, horrible things to other people, whether they're children or adults. I think that there has to be some sort of, I don't know, I mean, maybe I'm wrong to think that, but, you know, if you don't admit that you're wrong and see that your way is wrong, is it right? I mean, I have a problem with them just going to a place where they're loved, you know, when they inflicted so much pain on this world and the people that were here. I want there to be some sort of recompense, so to speak. I don't know, maybe you don't feel that way. And I'm not saying that I'm better. I don't believe that one sin is worse than the other when it comes to God and the way He sees things, although you might argue that the Word does say it would be better to tie a millstone around about your neck and throw yourself into the ocean than to hurt a child. And there are certain things that, you know, the Word says that God hates. You know, a lying tongue, feet that are swift to run to evil. I can't remember the others, but there are hands that shed innocent blood, things like that. There are things that, you know, that the scriptures say, God says that He hates. So, I mean, if that's true, then, you know, maybe I'm not too far off. I don't know. I don't want to be so resistant, and yet I don't want to be, you know, blind, you know, and I don't know. It's kind of hard when I see these things and I see different people. If it were one channel and they all said the same thing, then I might say, okay, well, you know, they're all coming from the same channel. They're all coming from the same, excuse me. They're all coming from the same, you know, narrative, and they probably want to, you know, be consistent. But this was different people, different times, different, even different decades. And so I can't help but think that the information that I've gathered, it really makes me kind of say, okay, well, you know, step back, take a step back and sort of, you know, ask yourself, okay, surely no one person has it 100% correct. I mean, I believe the scriptures are the infallible word of God. I have to believe that. I have to, because I ascribe to that belief, because it's a set in stone kind of thing for me. I know there's one God, there's one Son, is His Son Jesus. I know that there is a place that we do go, but I feel like there are requirements that get us there. And like rules on earth, I believe there's rules there too. And so I'm not saying that I'm abandoning what I believe. I'm not saying that I'm entertaining the idea that, you know, I was wrong and they're right, or they're wrong and I'm right. I'm just saying, for the sake of a quorum, okay, or a discussion, it's just something to consider. I don't know. I don't even know why I'm so fascinated by the NDEs. Now, my wife made the comment the other day. My daughter came in and I was watching something on YouTube, and my daughter said, "Dad, what are you watching this stuff for?" And my wife said, "Oh, because he's afraid of dying." Well, you know, there was a point in time where I was afraid to die. And it wasn't that I was afraid to die because I was going to be sent to hell. It was more of a, I was afraid to die because it's unknown. You know, I mean, I spent years as a hospice nurse, you know, and I've seen so many people die, and I've seen them die peacefully, and I've seen them talk to people who aren't there. You know, I've seen them have conversations with people that I cannot see, that they're seeing into another realm. Maybe they're seeing beyond this world. I don't know. I know that I saw it. I know that I heard it, you know, so it's like I didn't have to take someone's word for it. I really did see it. I really did hear it. You know, I witnessed it myself. So I was a little afraid of death. Actually, I was a lot afraid of death, because it was the unknown, and I was terrified of being in a place without other people, without, you know, those who have died and gone on before me, my loved ones, you know. And so I was afraid, and so through that fear, I began to embrace the idea of death, even though I was young, and my wife always, you know, not always, but would often say that I had a death fixation, And that's really, I don't know that I had a death fixation so much as I had a fixation on what is beyond this life. And so I think with the promising of life beyond this one, even though, you know, people say, well, your faith will make you strong, and, you know, people, we have faith to believe that there's something beyond this here. Well, that's true. I mean, faith is easy to have when you're up on the mountain, but when you're in the valley, and, you know, things go tough, you know, it's like, well, gosh, I don't know if I have the faith to believe or not. Now, you might call me a hypocrite. You might call me a typical Christian who uses God and Christianity and the Bible to as a crutch, you know. I'm very careful, very, very careful that I don't step into the role of the Holy Spirit, because that's not my job. That is not my function here on earth, to be the Holy Spirit. There's only one Holy Spirit. There's only one Spirit, and that's the God. That's the Holy Spirit of God. That's my opinion. I don't want to tell someone that they're going to hell or they're going to heaven, because I don't know. And I know sometimes my friends who are deeply embedded in the Christianese and the Bible, they'll say, well, you know, that's a dangerous place to be, and you should, you know, we're to call out sin and all this here. Well, I disagree. I don't think we're here to call out sin, especially in those who are not believers. Now, if you want me to call out sin in the life of a believer, then I don't see the use in doing that, because believers, just because we're believers and we've accepted the free gift of salvation from Christ, doesn't mean that we're not going to sin. I mean, good Lord, I mean, I wish that were true. Then I would be a perfect person, but I'm not. And I sin. And I do things I shouldn't do. And I say things I shouldn't say. And I think things I shouldn't think. And I look at things I probably shouldn't look at. And I know that. And I struggle with sin just like anybody else. And I don't think that I'm better than anybody else. I'm just forgiven. I believe, as most Christians believe, that there is a person called Jesus who forgives us of our sins, and he's faithful to forgive us if we ask for it. I personally believe that we're forgiven even before we even ask. We're forgiven because when we accept Christ as our Savior, we become children of God. And so because we are children of God, you know, our spirit is saved and our soul is regenerated, basically. Our body, of course, is flesh, and it'll be part of this world and it'll stay with this world, but we become new creatures in Christ. And so to judge even the believers, to me, is not biblical. And I certainly don't want to judge those who aren't believers. I mean, it's obvious that someone who isn't a believer is going to be living a life of sin without the coverage of forgiveness from Christ. I mean, as far as what we believe and what is taught. But beating someone over the head, telling them that they're evil or that they're wrong or that, you know, they've done something that's going to cause them to be, unsaved, and they're going to, you know, die and go to hell or something. I think it's anti-productive. It does no good. It's not going to bring them closer to Christ. It's like, you know, beating up a woman who's in an abusive relationship. It's just not going to do any good. It's not going to convince her that, you know, she needs to leave this guy, or vice versa. If a guy's in a relationship and he's being beaten by a girl or mistreated, same thing goes. So I believe in situations where there are those who don't believe in Christ, those who don't, you know, subscribe to the beliefs and the teachings of Christ in the Bible. I think in situations like that, we are to love. We are to love those people. We don't have to love what they're doing. We don't have to prove what they're doing, but we can love them as people. And I think that's where Christ says to love your enemies and to love your neighbor as yourself, you know? And so I am more of I'm not a judgmental person. There was a time in my life where I was a judgmental person. I was not a very nice person. And you may have heard me talk about this on other podcasts. And I had to wake up one day and realize that, you know, I was doing nothing to promote kindness or goodness in the world. And I leave the judging up to the Holy Spirit. I let the Holy Spirit judge people, not me. It's not my job. That's not my job description. My job, my sole responsibility, is to love people. Now, I don't always find it easy to love people that are unlovable. I don't always find it easy to love people who hate me. I don't always find it easy to love people that are different from me or that do things differently than I do. And so I have to catch myself and say, you know what? Jesus loved me no matter what. I mean, even when I was, you know, terrible and horrible and everything, I mean, even when I, you know, ask forgiveness and then I turn around and do the same thing over again, or I do something different, you know, Jesus is always there. He's always there to forgive me. He doesn't say, you got to go get a bath before you get a bath. You got to go get a shower before you get a shower. You got to go to the doctor and get healed before you come to the doctor. You know, we go before Christ because Christ loves us even while we were sinners. And so I believe that same example of Christ should be exhibited from us to the people in the world. That's just me. Does it help me sleep better at night? Yeah, it does, actually. Do I worry so much about death anymore? Not so much when I think about the accounts of the people who've had near-death experiences and they have these beautiful, you know, visions, and they see this thing off in the distance, and, you know, they come back and they tell about it. It gives me hope. It gives me, it gives me peace. Even though when it comes right down to it, you know, it could be that when I do face death, and I will eventually, everybody does, I may be a sniveling, crying old man, you know, begging for more time on the earth. I don't know. I hope that I won't be. I hope that I'll be strong, and I hope that my faith will carry me through. But when my faith is not strong enough, all I have really is just to depend on Christ. And so, anyway, that's my podcast for today, and I hope you got something out of it. Maybe it gave you some hope. Maybe it gave you some ideas, something to think about. I mean, there's so much to talk about under the sun, and this was my topic today. So thanks for listening. Thanks for joining in. I really appreciate when people do that. And that's all I got. Until next time.